Welcome to Beyond the Donation, a podcast powered by DonorDoc. Our goal is to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies to further your fundraising and to teach you how to build your best donor relationships beyond their donation. Now on to the show with your host, Matt Bitsigay.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Donation. I am your host, Matt Bitsigay, and I am excited to be joined by Sam Fankunchen today from Golden Volunteer. Sam, thanks for joining me.
It's a pleasure, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, maybe if you don't mind just letting our listeners know a little bit about yourself and like what your mission is, what you guys do at Golden.
Sure. So at Golden, we try to help anyone of any background live in their golden moments through acts of service in all their forms. And to help organizers at every scale, whether you're just getting a community group together or you're operating a global entity, to have real-time visibility into the performance of your activities and your partner's activities, whether it's in our system or in attached systems like DonorDoc. And in that capacity, we are the most award-winning volunteer management software in the world. We might even be the most award-winning constituent management software out there. And we are also the most popular apps for volunteering. Some people find our apps for iOS and Android. We also have web apps. Those apps are often branded. So if you go to 9/11 Day or to UNICEF or Charity Navigate or many others to go and volunteer, you're actually interacting with our ecosystem that's branded and or curated by any number of partners. We work in the nonprofit sector, and we also work in government, corporate social responsibility, K-12 ed, higher education, healthcare, disaster relief, and other categories. And we operate currently on 6 continents, and we go country by country when we localize. Prior to Golden, I've always had an interest in social entrepreneurship, particularly using technology to open new horizons of opportunity for anybody who's on a mission. And my academic career also led me deep into the field, in addition to other professional interests that I had, again, prior to Golden. And also in addition to Golden, as a board member at many other organizations who are thinking at the systems level about where we can improve the experience of engaging in everyday philanthropy and also transformative philanthropy.
That's awesome. And so, you know, we're lucky, I think, to be joined by somebody with just your expertise. And so we're going to really dig in. Our theme today is going to be all about volunteerism, volunteering. So maybe start out by just kind of sharing your thoughts about, like, volunteers play just such a crucial role in the nonprofit sector, which is, of course, where, you know, where we're focused in. Like, from your perspective, how would you describe the impact that volunteers can have on, you know, nonprofit organizations around the country?
Volunteers are really the lifeblood and eyes and ears of an organization. It's the first chance that somebody from the outside has an opportunity to get to know the organization, what the organization stands for, what projects they have currently running, and how those projects relate to the pursuit of a mission. And volunteers already are offering resources to, let's say, a 501c3 organization, to your nonprofit, or to any other institution. They've decided that it's worth their time and their effort to put their priorities aside in order to adopt your priorities and to try and advance whatever the objectives at hand are. And that level of demonstrated interest indicates that you have somebody who has way more potential than has been tapped, whether that's to have somebody continue in the same capacity and just do it more, or to bring other people they know with like-minded interests or capabilities, or whether that's to upskill somebody and convert them into a staff member, or to scale your program. And of course, this being Beyond the Donation, to think about how other forms of activity can come from somebody who has firsthand experience and context with the organization. It's really important to think about volunteers as being your most valuable donors. And I'll just transition straight into thinking about donors, because again, this is a podcast maybe listened to by a fair amount of development officers or executive directors or anybody else just trying to think how to grow their scale and their capability through financial resources. And we live in a world where, you know, in the field of professional fundraising for nonprofits, the rates of donations have been declining every single year since 2012. And ironically, in my view, a lot of that has to do with the availability of technology, not because there isn't technology. And because there are millions of organizations and causes out there that have access to technology, all of them have been more aggressive than they used to be with reaching donors, which means there's more noise for the donors, more fatigue, especially at a moment in time where there's an increase in disasters. We're just coming out of a pandemic. There are multiple wars occurring around the world and other things that consume people's bandwidth to be generous. And in addition to that, there are demographic changes afoot. In the historical times of sustaining philanthropic organizations, baby boomers, the greatest generation, would be much more loyal and evergreen in terms of their donating to certain organizations they support. The behaviors of younger generations are quite different than that. Gen X, millennial, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, all of whom have deep philanthropic interests, but understand that their resources are finite and that there are a lot of options out there. And because all these tools have come out and potential donors become aware of donation opportunities through emails and texts and so forth, it becomes much more important to understand who the person, as a development officer, the person you're trying to reach, who they are as a human being, because a donor isn't always and only a donor, the same way you aren't always and only any other label that somebody would put on you.
Mm-hmm.
You are a supporter. And the idea is to understand who your supporters are, reach them in an authentic way, and give them all kinds of pathways and options to be the optimal version of a supporter for you, including a really big donor and a donor who activates their network. And the easiest way to do that is with volunteers, because you're not necessarily asking something of them other than to meet you where you are and to be a part of the work that you're doing and to expose their point of view and awareness to the subjects at hand, and then to give them a personal connection to where their additional resources can provide all kinds of advancement that the organization couldn't achieve on its own. And so we're very focused on volunteers. Volunteers, if you look at Giving Tuesday's most recent look back study, which is 2022 data that they published at the end of 2023, we're very fortunate at Golden that our volunteering data is the data that they use, but they also get it from a few other sources broadly for their report. And globally, 96% of people who volunteered also supported in other ways, typically donations, but it could be advocacy, it could be other kinds of activities that support organizations. And Fidelity Charitable's research from a decade ago is that volunteers donate 10 times more than non-volunteers do. Our own data set shows that folks who we track in our system and or other attached systems, for example, DonorDoc, the same resource, the same person we're tracking, will give 4 times more volunteer effort before they even get to donation effort by virtue of having a more closed loop set of interactions using technology to facilitate their experience. There's a lot of room to grow the potential from those who should be your most valuable donors who start as volunteers. So I'll pause there because that's a bit of a monologue.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And it's really interesting. I think completely agree with the concept of, you know, thinking of our donors as in that holistic way as supporters. There, you know, it's not always financial donations. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's time and various other things. But so one of the things that I think challenges nonprofits then is, you know, how do I go out and find new people? You know, just like finding new financial donors, there's a challenge in finding people who are willing to give up their time to your organization. Like, what are some of the things that you've seen work when you're trying to recruit new volunteers to come in and help with various things within your organization?
Yeah, I think it's really much more basic than most people make it out to be, which is take a look around your organization, identify what needs you have, and publish those needs. For example, if you go to goldenvolunteer.com, you can sign up for a free dashboard where you can get free tools to recruit, screen, schedule, track, onboard, and convert volunteers into donors, and do a variety of other things. Like I said before, it's been named top social good app in the world by Facebook. You know, it's been a multiple Webby honoration recipient. It's really excellent software, and you can use it for free to manage the volunteer lifecycle. The process of listing a volunteer opportunity essentially consists providing some very fundamental information about it, like what is the purpose of the activity, what is the role somebody's going to perform, how does it feel to be there, and any specific logistics. It'll take you 90 seconds or less to list each opportunity, and then you can schedule it to recur. You can manage your capacity for each. And Golden, for example, will automatically recruit and screen and schedule and track according to qualifications candidates, so you don't have to. But you also get links that you can share on Facebook, on X, on your Instagram profile page, wherever you want, where people who find those links can click, learn more, sign up automatically, and you don't have to worry about where to go to find people besides your usual channels. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about the coordination or double checking to make sure somebody's going to show up. All of those things are handled. And then you get the visibility and benefit in general of these relationships that can be so meaningful.
And you mentioned qualifications. It made me think of one of the questions that I was going to ask you. So in certain situations and certain types of volunteerism, there might be a need for, you know, further vetting of potential volunteers. Like, how do you guys handle that sort of thing? Is there, you know, maybe I'm working with children and I want people to have a background check. Like, is that the kind of qualification things that you can manage within the Golden platform? Or
absolutely. So in Golden, we can run, we call them real time, but engineers would call them near real time background checks. Usually we get results in a few seconds, like 30 seconds, 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. You can do federal criminal, county criminal, sex offender, terrorist watch list, identity theft check, even driving record checks in seconds.
Okay.
And those are very common parameters. So when you list an opportunity, you can say this opportunity requires background check or a clean driving record or whatever. And then we can make sure that the participant forms that before they're able to complete their sign up. But we also don't have to slow them down to go send them to the next town to schedule a live scan and pay $75, wait to get their results, and then give their social security number on a piece of paper to somebody. Mm-hmm. Those days are over.
Yeah.
So that's great. But there are also all kinds of other parameters. For example, it's possible that a participant will have needed to complete a certain training, or that an opportunity is private only for employees of a bank that you work with. All of these are very common. There are many other common ones too. And we support, as I mentioned before, disaster relief efforts, very vulnerable populations, healthcare circumstances, you know, healthcare practices. And each of these have different sets of regulations. In these settings, the software that we provide complies with those regulations so that you don't have to think about it.
Yeah. One more thing that, you know, take that burden off of the organizations you're working with, which is great. You know, we talked a little bit about recruiting. It sounds like you guys make that, you know, pretty easy. But just like any supporter, whether it's financial, volunteer, engage, you know, kind of ongoing engagement is really key as well. And so what's your take on kind of how best to maintain that meaningful engagement with your volunteers over time? And what kind of tools do you guys have to help in that effort?
I think something all of us could do better, myself included, is just trying to meet people where they are. If you think of volunteering as, you know, I think from the perspective of a consumer, a participant, or a volunteer, that volunteering is an expression of who you are, an extension of your identity. We were talking earlier, Matt, that you're interested in golf. There are a lot of ways to play golf that involve volunteering. For example, First Tee, the organization that helps people learn how to play golf. Mm-hmm. But there are many others. And so as an individual, opening your mind to doing the things that are interesting to you, whether you know about them or not, maybe it's something you want to learn about. Finding ways to pursue those interests through service gives you a much deeper appreciation for those interests because you understand it, not just from your own perspective, but somebody else's perspective. And likewise, as an organizer, can you even imagine operating today without having a donation button on your website or a link in your emails, all these kinds of things? you should also be thinking, what are the ways I can engage outsiders in what we're doing in addition to donating so that they're more inclined to donate? And that means having a page on your website with automatically displaying your upcoming volunteer opportunities where people can learn about them and signing up. We call those a portal. You can very easily have one of those added to your website in 24 hours or less. You can also add just a widget, a copy and paste one line of HTML on your website. Anyone who operates a website will know how to do it. That takes 30 seconds, and then you can display opportunities on your website, and you can get links to all your upcoming opportunities, put in your email footers, put them in your email newsletters. Just think about the different communications you have and show people that there's a lane to get more involved. And don't worry about it diminishing your donation call to action. If anything, it strengthens it, because people who look for that link will be doing so with conviction. They won't just feel like it's the only option. People who know they like to donate won't feel pressured to always and only be a donor. People aren't ready to donate, have a chance to get to know you better and maybe donate more than a $5, $20 request and instead make it a part of their life.
Yep. How often do you see that transition of someone who maybe starts in, you know, supporting an organization through volunteerism, through time, and they transition into that financial donor over time? Is that a pretty common pathway that you guys see?
It's very common. And I would request or suggest to anybody who's listening to this to look at your own board or look at the organizations you admire and who their leaders are and how they became involved with the organization. And it's very likely that those will have started as volunteers in some kind.
Yeah. So again, just reaffirming this concept that, you know, we need to be thinking about our supporters in a holistic way and not just strictly in a financial perspective as far as like a financial donor. What are some of the big challenges that you see for organizations that are, you know, that are heavy with, you know, needing volunteers or trying to manage a volunteer program?
That the software that used to exist a decade ago, or the lack of software using, you know, spreadsheets or clipboards, what's available today is so much farther beyond what you think it is. It's not just entering hours and sessions people did. It's building robust profiles on who they are. It's super advanced demographics, real-time measurement of the impact that they have while they're on site. How many meals did they pack? How many pounds of trash did they collect? How many phone calls did they make? All of those things that can automate, for example, your grant applications or your board reporting. In addition to that, we're spending a lot of time doing AI research with Microsoft, the Stanford Human-Centered AI Lab, University College London, about originating information about patterns of volunteer behavior that predict accelerated pathways toward achieving shared impact goals across sectors. So, for example, something like reducing hunger or homelessness, or providing access to an ophthalmologist. These are things that aren't just done by a singular nonprofit or nonprofits in general. These are shared initiatives that exist with, for example, healthcare providers or governments, companies, et cetera. And all of whom are working on shared goals from different perspectives. So if we can use the visibility into how volunteers and donors in an individual setting are working toward these goals and compare it to the progress that actors from other sectors have in their own ways toward those shared goals, we can then use AI to detect where the patterns are working and where they're not working so that we can target not just communications and fundraising requests and things like that, but the entire journey in a more adaptive way to start getting us to those goals faster, including fundraising. Something to look at as a development officer is, in your donor database, what percent of your donors have given more than once? You know, for many, that's going to be a percentage way less than 50%, some as low as 25%. And if you are trying to just keep filling the top of the funnel with donors who might donate and might donate once, but may not donate again, and certainly may not bring others they know to donate, then there's not a problem with your donation operation. There's a problem with your overall operation because people don't feel any attachment. So that's what I would say. I mean, we could talk about AI and cross-sector innovation, which obviously I love. But the reality is, in daily life, the question is, how are we going to get more donations? And if I have any data at all about how donations work here, what can I learn from it? And what I would say is, don't just look at it and say, I wish we had more, or our donations are going down, if that's the case, as it is for many of us. I would just ask, where are things healthy? And, you know, what are some metrics that might indicate that we should think about broader relationships so that we get more enduring financial partners?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think we think about that a lot in terms of just the power of relationships and fundraising. It really goes across the board as we talk about supporters. So you've mentioned AI. Obviously, that's a big, you know, hot topic in our society right now. You know, what trends do you see coming with either AI or with other technology that you think will impact volunteerism, you know, besides what you've kind of touched on there?
Absolutely. So AI, I think where it's exciting, particularly in our world here, is the things that take a lot of time for a human being to do can be done faster with tools that work alongside you. And honestly, yes, in the long term, there may be some threats that AI poses. And I certainly am aware and believe in some of those threats. But they're not usually the threats that we think about. I don't think any of us are going to lose our jobs because of AI today or in 5 years. But what we might be able to do is get a lot more valuable work done if we have AI in the places where we could use a little bit of acceleration, and where, you know, literally these AI bots are being called co-pilots pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. I would think of it that way. You know, as cheesy a name as that may be, if the AI is just doing rote tasks, time-consuming tasks, maybe helping you bounce ideas off of, you know, something, test some copy, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Great. In volunteering, what that looks like is, as an organizer, having an AI help you draft and publish opportunities, having an AI look at the trends and, you know, we call them insights or data or metrics or reporting about how your volunteer program's going, and help you interpret that, so that you can see where there's trends, what's going really well, maybe where you should spend some more time, maybe what you should take credit for having done, where you can use raw outputs of data that a system has collected and have them turned into some kind of report, whether that's for the board or just your email list. Those are very obvious. For the participant, we're thinking about AI to help be your coach and whatever journey you want to take as a supporter of things. And that means understanding the world around you, understanding yourself, what's meaningful, what's rewarding, what brings you elation, and to help accelerate the frequency and duration of those golden moments.
That's awesome. There's a lot of exciting things, I think, coming. Technology's moving, as you know, so quickly. It's almost hard to keep up, but I think, I'm in agreement. There are so many things that I think AI can help with as we continue to build those pieces out. So, Sam, very interesting. I think, you know, volunteerism is such a core component operationally for so many nonprofits. So your expertise, your knowledge, and the tools that you provide are hugely valuable. If you could just offer one piece of advice to, you know, a nonprofit executive director or development director, what would that one piece of advice be that you'd leave us with?
It would be, if you think your development team and volunteering team work separately or manage communications or relationships separately, that you should call a meeting and eliminate any ability organizationally for that to happen. You don't even need technology for that. But I think you need to bring everybody together and say, from now on, we're not managing each of our own stakeholders and relationships. From now on, we're sharing information about who our people are, what's important to them, what's important to us to do with them. And then you can make some very basic technology decisions that will help you optimize those relationships, including fundraising software that's more intelligent and more personalized. And volunteering, because volunteering is going to give you access to a broader market of much more valuable resources.
Really, really good tip. I'm guessing we're going to have a lot of listeners who are interested in learning more about Golden and what you're doing. Can you kind of share with us where they can find out the best, what's the best source of information about if they're looking for more about Golden?
Thanks for asking. Please visit goldenvolunteer.com. We're on a lot of different social media under the handle Golden App, or you can email us. We have a full-time support team at support@goldenvolunteer.com.
And we are very excited with our integration that we have with Golden, because again, when you think about trying to get your tools working well together, having all of that data, you know, across these different applications, I think is really key. So we're super excited to partner with you guys on that integration. Thank you so much for joining me, Sam. I know you guys have some, you know, some weather related things and things going on. So I appreciate you taking the time out and talking with me and our audience. I'm sure everybody thought it was very, very enlightening around the volunteer side of things.
Well, thanks for having me, Matt, and on behalf of our team for thinking of us in the ways that, that your team does. And we just like to say it's not lost on us how lucky we are to work with a team at DonorDoc that really understands and values their users and wants to help them get up and going and wants to help them do a lot with a little.
I appreciate that.
There's like that. And I'm sure your clients realize that when they work. Yeah.
Thank you. Likewise. Yeah. Appreciate that very much. All right. If you know someone that you think is making a significant impact on the nonprofit sector or have a topic that you'd love us to dig into, please reach out and give us those ideas. We'd love to hear from you. We're always looking for inspiring stories to share with our audience. Sam, thanks again for joining me. And this has been another episode of Beyond the Donation.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Beyond the Donation podcast. We're grateful you tuned in today. For more information about our guests and to view the show notes, resources, and links from today's show, head over to beyondthedonation.com. Here's to furthering your mission and driving more impact beyond the donation.